God's grace, His mercy, His peace be with you today through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Yes, Transfiguration Sunday. So we got to see how Jesus was really the Christ on the mountain. He showed his true identity to his disciples despite his regular outward appearance. Today, let's talk about outward appearances versus the true identity. And especially, I'd like to look with you at that with respect to this question. Who are the true Christians and who are the fake ones? There's a lot of people in the world, of course, that claim the name of Christ, right? All have that same outward appearance, but who are the real McCoy inside and who are the fakes? Who is the true Christian and who is the counterfeit? Who is the real Son of God, sons of God, and who are the pretenders? Let's take a look at that today and see if that is actually true. Are there people who claim to be Christian who aren't really Christian, and whereas there are real Christians in the midst of them? I hold up here two plates for you. Okay? Are these both real plates? Yeah. On the one hand, we got this one, nice and strong, silver, let's say. This one, is this one real? Doesn't sound the same, does it? Okay, they both are called plates, let's say. They both claim to be plates, but which one is the true plate and which is the fake or counterfeit? Are there actually in the world real Christians and fake ones? Are there true ones and counterfeit ones? Are there real redeemed sons of God and hypocrites on the other side? Let's take a look at discerning and distinguishing between true and fake today about what Jesus wants us to teach us so that, number one, we can understand and discern the difference. Number two, not be discouraged when we meet fake ones. Number three, make sure that we ourselves are of the true kind and not the false. So let's take a look at that today. What's Jesus teach us? Let's start out by looking at a parable Jesus told us in Luke chapter 8. Let's read it, the parable of the four soils into which the seed was cast. Okay. Luke 8, verse 5 and following, Jesus says, "A sower went out to sow a seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path. It was trodden underfoot, and birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as it grew, it withered away, because it had no moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." How does Jesus define this? The disciples wanted to know. Jesus explains it. The parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who've heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts that they do not believe and be saved. The ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while and in time of temptation fall away. As for what was sown or fell amongst the thorns, those are those who hear. And as they go on their way, they're choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. And as for that on the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bring forth fruit with patience. What's Jesus telling us here about true Christians versus false ones? The real sons of God versus the counterfeits? Well, all these soils received the word, didn't they? They all heard the word of God preached. But in only one of those four soils did it take. Right? The first one, the devil snatched it out. The second one was a little bit of getting in, but then it fell away at the first sign of trouble. The third one was choked by all the cares and riches. It didn't bear any fruit, basically. The only one that was the real one, the good one, was the fourth. So what do we note by this? A lot of people hear the word of God, right? A lot of people go to churches. A lot of people claim to have a relationship there with Christ, but who's the real one according to at least this parable? The one that takes this word, receives it deep into his heart, holds it fast, brings forth fruit with patience, in other words, keeps the word, acts upon the word. The others didn't have any fruit, the fourth one did. How do you tell a true Christian? By the fruits. Upon acting upon the word. Remember, Jesus was once preaching and people came and said, "Oh, your mother and your sisters are outside asking and desiring to see you." What's he say?
Who is?
Who are my mother and my brothers, he says, and sisters, those who hear the word of God and do it. Say the words, do it.
Do it.
Just like Nike, right? Just do it. That's what God's saying. Like the sneaker. Come on. Those who hear the word of God and keep it are the true ones versus the fake ones. Remember, Jesus tells another parable there in Matthew chapter 7. He says, everyone of them who hears these words of mine and does them, he's like a wise man who built his house upon a rock. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it didn't fall because it had been well built upon the rock. But everyone who hears the words of mine and doesn't do them is like the foolish man building his house on sand. And the rain fell, the floods came, and winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. Great was the fall of it. What's the difference? This is so simple. Okay, true Christians versus false Christians. I hear the word of God, says the silver plate. I hear the word of God, says the tinfoil plate. What's the difference between the two? I hear the word of God and keep it, says the silver plate. The tinfoil plate says, I hear the word of God and whatever. They forget about it. They don't keep the word. Now, Jesus is calling us here today, encouraging you, because I know almost all of you, some visitors today, I'm going to assume you're the true plate too, the true Christian, but you are the people of God who hear the word of God, take it fast and in a good and honest heart, bring forth fruit with patience, and act upon it. You keep the word. That's what the true Christian is versus the fake one, the counterfeit. But we also need to be careful here because inside every one of us there's a little bit of tinfoil still, right? Yes. Not talking Wizard of Oz or the Tin Man. I'm saying there is a little bit of tinfoil still left in us. An old nature. We're saved, right? By grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. True. And we're saved for good works, for action. But there's still a little tinfoil left in all of us. So we have to be careful that we also don't just live according to that tinfoil, but live according to the real silver plate, the true heart that God has put in us by the Holy Spirit. Because we could all fall into something called hypocrisy. What's hypocrisy, by the way? Does Jesus like hypocrisy? What is a hypocrite? Well, let's hear for a few words Jesus has against hypocrisy. He says in chapter 6, verse 2 of Matthew, thus when you give alms, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and the streets, that they may be praised by men. Truly I say to you, they've received their reward. But when you give alms, do it in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. What's he telling us there? What's a hypocrite do? I'm going to do everything I want to do to be a Christian, but for outward show only, to get glory from men. I'm pretending. It's a counterfeit. It's not real. Because I say one thing, but I do another. What is a hypocrite? Is someone who pretends to be a Christian, who maybe goes to church, who maybe even reads the Bible, maybe even says the Apostles' Creed, and he does all the outward show of things, right? But inwardly and in his life, he does the opposite. Isn't that true? Isn't that what a hypocrite is? Jesus says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. They love to stand and pray in the synagogues and street corners, that they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they've received their reward. What's that mean? They got their reward. Men praise them. That's it, though. Not getting any reward from the Father. Zero, zip, none. God's going to reward you when you pray in secret to be seen by him in truth. And he will reward you both here and eternally. So be careful of hypocrisy. We can all fall into it, right? James says, but be doers of the word. Right, Linda, you said this in Bible studies today. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. If you hear the word, but you don't do it, you're like a guy looking at his face in a mirror. He sees the truth, but then he turns away and forgets immediately what he just saw. Don't be like that in church, right? Hopefully you enjoy the sermons here. But this isn't a concert. I know you guys don't think of it that way. But sometimes it seems like a little bit of a performance. We read that in the Old Testament. That the people liked to come and hear Ezekiel preach because they thought it was a great concert. But they didn't do what he said. And God says, that's not doing any good. Look at Ezekiel 33, verses 31 to 33. God says, and they come to you, Ezekiel, as people come. They sit before you as my people. They hear what you say, but they will not do it. For with their lips they show much love, but with their heart they're set on gain by violence. And lo, you are to want them like one who sings love songs with a beautiful voice and plays well on an instrument. For they hear what you say, but they will not do it. When this comes, and come it will, they'll know that a prophet has been among them. So what do you do when you come to church on Sunday? You guys are great at this, by the way. You don't treat it as a concert. Hopefully it is somewhat engaging and entertaining, right? But you say, I'm going to take this word that I heard, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to act upon it. That's the true Christian. I'm going to be in the Word like we preached a few weeks ago. I'm going to be in prayer like we said a couple of weeks ago. I'm going to keep my eyes on the Lord in all things like we said a few weeks ago. I'm going to sing songs and hymns to God like we said last week. That's the true Christian. God's not really happy with hypocrites. You know that? And I'm not saying you are, but there are a lot in the world and we need to guard ourselves against it. A person who says one thing and does another. An angel on Sunday and a devil on Monday, right? The person who talks the talk but doesn't walk the walk, that's a big problem, says the Lord. Big problem. Hypocrites in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, in ancient times, the Greek word Jesus uses is hypocrites. Sounds the same thing, right? It originally meant an actor, a stage player that was on the theater, on the stage. They would wear masks in those days and they'd pretend to be one person when in fact they were inside another person. So a hypocrite was an actor on the stage, pretending to be one person but doing something else internally. God says, don't be a hypocrite. When you hear my word, take it deep, take it down in truth, because what God is after, since he's a real God, he's after a real faith that is taken into a real heart to bear forth real fruit in a real world with real taking action. That's what Christianity is about. Once God saves us in Christ, saves us apart from our good deeds, he saves us apart from them, but he saves us for good deeds, right? He launches you like an arrow being shot from his bow. Go out there and do it now. Act. When you hear the word of God, take it deep, keep it, bring forth fruit with patience, act. That's the true Christian who keeps my word. For if anyone thinks he's religious, says James, and doesn't bridle his tongue, for example, but deceives his heart, this man's religion is in vain. The word vain there means your religion is useless. It's completely unprofitable. It's worthless. It's dung. There's nothing to it if you don't act upon it. And you guys do act upon it. I'm praising you for that. But let's be careful. There's a chance to be a hypocrite in all of us. At least we have some tin left in us, even after we're saved. The old nature, we got to put it into submission and walk according to the new nature. God, I got your word today. God, help me to keep it. God, let me act upon it today and put it on flesh. You know, the word taking on flesh in my life. So it's in my real faith, in a real life, in a real world, with real works, for a real God to make a real difference for a real kingdom. That's what it's about as Christians. And avoiding the hypocrisy. Because God says, look, I don't look at people like everybody else does. Everybody else looks on the outward appearance of things. But I, God says, I look upon the heart. And again, in Jeremiah, God says, I, the Lord, search the mind and the heart. Of course, that's also in Revelation. Jeremiah 17, Revelation 2. I am he who searches mind and heart, and I'll give to each of you as your works deserve. So God wants, as a farmer, fruit. He's after fruit. Not just the good seed. He wants the fruit that the seed produces. Actions. Going after keeping the word. So, are we living in a world where everybody is a true Christian and everybody that claims to be a Christian is certainly trustworthy and of the truth? Or are there a lot of tinfoils out there? You know, you go a lot of looking around today in the world, and there's a lot of that where it's fake. And that harms God. It harms his mission in the world, I should say. Harms a lot of people. How many people know people that were hurt and won't come to Christ later in life because earlier in their life they met somebody in church who abused them or treated them in some evil way or disingenuous, trickster kind of way, and they're like, oh, Christians are all hypocrites. I don't want anything to do with Christ. You ever meet people like that? Well, what is that doing? Hypocrites are worse than the mafia, okay? At least the mafia doesn't pretend to be anybody but who they are. But a pretend Christian is a wolf in sheep's clothing, and that hurts God's mission to save the world so much because it turns people off to Christianity, when in fact all they did was meet a fake Christian and not a real one. Because if you meet a real one, you'll meet real love, real preaching, and hopefully come to faith. How about God's people in the Old Testament? How were they doing with all this? They were actually keeping the form of religion in those days, but not living it. We read here in Isaiah 1, God tells his people, through Isaiah, chastises them. He says, I have had enough of burnt offerings and of rams and fat of beasts. I don't delight in the blood of bulls, lambs, or he goats. Bring no more vain offerings. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and the calling of assemblies. I can't endure iniquity and solemn assembly. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hates. They've become a burden of me. I'm weary of bearing them. When you spread forth your hands, I hide my eyes from you. Even if you make many prayers, I won't listen. Why? Because your hands are full of blood. In other words, you do evil to each other the rest of the week. So, what God is against here in terms of hypocrisy is, if you say one thing and do the other, if you honor me with your lips but your heart is far from me, what is the good of that? Act. Take my word. Put it into practice, which you guys do a great job of, by the way. But let's beware. If you just keep the outward appearance of religion, denying the power of it, as a lot of churches do in the modern world today, God is, in a word, ticked. I'm not impressed. I don't care how good it looks outwardly. If you're doing evil to each other, I'm not listening to the prayers. And the hammer is about to come down, God would say. Look how Jesus rails against the Pharisees, the scribes of the ancient times in Matthew 23. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for your tithe, mint, and dill, and cumin, but you've neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. You are blind guides, you're straining at a gnat and missing a camel, swallowing a camel. Woe to you, hypocrites, you're cleansing the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside you're full of extortion and greed. You are whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within you are full of dead man's bones. Outwardly you appear righteous to men, but within you're full of hypocrisy and sin. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, you serpents, you brood of vipers. How are you to escape being sentenced to hell? Does he talk like most modern preachers? Where we're all very nice and woke and everything? Hopefully not all of us. But look, the scribes and the Pharisees, Jesus says, look, they're sitting on Moses' seat, so do what they tell you, but not what they're doing. Because they don't keep it. They practice, but they don't preach. I mean, they preach, but they don't practice. And he says, beware of the scribes. They like to go about in long robes. They love the salutations in the marketplaces, the best seats in the synagogues, the places of honor at feasts, but they devour widows' houses. And for a pretense they make long prayers, they will receive the greater condemnation. What does that mean? It means when God comes to judge the world and they have to stand before him for judgment, it'd be better if you were Uncle Joey from the mafia. Hey, what's the matter here, man? I'm dumping you in the East River. It'd be better if you were doing that. Some movie, right? It'd be better if you were that than if you were some pseudo-Christian standing in the pulpit preaching fake teachings, little niceties, whitewashed tombs, and doing evil. You'll receive greater hellfire. The temperature will be turned up for you because you led people astray under the pretense of being a Christian, under the claim of being my name, having Christ's name upon you. That receives a greater condemnation. So, Jesus warns, he says, not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom, but he who does the will of my Father who's in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many, many works in your name? But I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you evil doers. So what's the difference, guys? You following this? True plate, silver over here. Fake plate over here, tin foil. What's the difference? You will know them by their fruits. So how about you guys? Are you in the truth? I believe you are. You're in real plates. I watch you doing this stuff. But let's be careful and not believe every Christian that we see in the world, supposed Christian. Remember, the devil, well, let's say first, Jesus said, beware of wolves in sheep's clothing. That's preachers who are outwardly appear good, but inwardly are bringing you destruction. Beware of wolves in sheep's clothing. Antichrist, the beast from Revelation 13, has two horns like a lamb, but speaks like a dragon. So he looks like a Christian, but speaks like a devil. And we know that the devil himself, well, Paul says, no wonder, even that Satan himself disguises himself as an angel of light. So it's not strange if his servants, false Christians, preachers, also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds, the greater condemnation. So we got to be careful about that. What do you do, by the way, if you meet somebody who's been harmed by a fake Christian, a pseudo-Christian, an abusive, evil pastor who was supposed to be Christian but wasn't? You know, a lot of times I've met people on my boat, my charter boat that I used to have. Can't believe I say used to have now. I just sold it in October. But I meet people all the time. I don't want anything to do with Christianity. They're all hypocrites because I got abused when I was a child. Or you know, they're just loosey-goosey with all their teachings. Liberal churches. Or I've met people that were especially harmed by legalistic churches. Have you guys ever been harmed by that? Where, let's say, a teenage girl gets pregnant and has a child out of wedlock, and she repents, and she comes to Christ, and she gets saved, and she goes to the church expecting to be welcomed joyfully as she should be, and then people shun her, cast her aside as evil, a second-class citizen, and worse than that, a terrible sinner. And then she goes away, and she may even forsake Christ, thinking, that's what all Christians are? I'm out of here. Look how it harms the mission. What should a true Christian do when someone repents of their sins, whatever they may be, and comes for repentance? Hooray! We rejoice with you. You're a fellow saint. A crown is to be promised to you. Oh, God be praised. Welcome. We love you. Because we're all sinners, friends. Saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And then we're saved then for good works. So can you quote Nike with me again? What do they say? Just do it. This is so simple. I could have made a very short message today. Okay? Get rid of all this and just say, just do it. That's what God tells you. Keep my word. It's a good word. Look at what Jesus says to the Pharisees, etc. He says, what do you think? A man had two sons, and he went to the first and said, son, go and work in the vineyard today. He answered, I won't do it. But afterward, he repented and went. And he went to the second, said the same. And he answered, I go, sir. But he didn't go. Which of the two did the will of his father? Which one? Jesse, which one did the will of his father? The first or the second? The first. Thank you. See, if you have a problem, I'll jump in and save you. Don't worry about it. If you say you're not going to go, but you go, God says, I'll accept that. But if you say I'm going to go, but I don't go, big problems. Therefore, Jesus says, therefore, I tell you, the tax collectors and harlots go into the kingdom of God before you, scribes and Pharisees, etc. Because they repented at the preaching of John, but you didn't. So, what is God after? What's the first thing we can do when God says, do this? What is the first thing we should do? Repent of your sins. That's doing God's will. Call on Christ for salvation. That's doing God's will. Let me save you. And God says, you're going to go into the kingdom of heaven. That's doing my will. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, praise God, and I'll give you the faith to do it. And then when you hear the sermon after that, don't treat it like a concert. You're not here to be entertained. Let it entertain you, okay? But it's not a concert. It's a bugle call sounding forth to the cavalry and the infantry to go forth and conquer, okay? Whenever I preach, it's a bugle, not a concert. Calling you to action. And I just want to praise you for that. If you know these things, Jesus says, blessed are you if you do them, and you are. And I praise you for being true and genuine. Let's keep it up. I preached to you on getting into the Word and getting off your phones. Maybe some have fallen in that. I have at times the last couple of weeks. But you're doing it. All right, you came here. I'm mentioning it by name, sorry. On Wednesday night, he says, I've been trying to memorize Romans 1. Finally, I finished it, Pastor. I got away from it for a while, but I'm now on Romans 2. You're in the Word. Praise God. You're keeping it. You're a true Christian. I've preached on prayer. You've been doing that and confessing to me. You're praising God and running to Him in prayer. You're a true Christian. I preached you on keeping your eye on God. I keep the Lord always before me because He's at my right hand. I won't be moved. Like Marge, who died recently, that is, departed and went to God. Her eye was on God, and she had victory even in her death. Praise God. True Christian. I preached to you on singing songs and doing music last week. You've been doing that, and several of you have written to me about songs you're singing at home. You're a true Christian, praise God. And best of all, the commandment to love one another. I heard one of our former members, they're at another church now because they moved to another area, but they were at a diner in the area. They saw a man ordering pancakes, but he was asking, how much for three pancakes? Well, how much for two? How much for one? How much for two sausages? Well, how much for one? He didn't have the money. He couldn't pay. He was poor. He was starving. So our member, former member, still honorary member here, called the waitress aside quietly, said, hey, let him get whatever he wants. Tell him it's okay. It's all paid for. He ordered a big feast. He rejoiced. But there, she looked over out of the corner of his eyes, and he saw tears coming down from the man he had helped. Friends, that's what it is to be a true Christian. Doing your deeds. Being them in secret, not to be seen by men, but to be seen by the Father, and the Father who sees in secret will reward you. He says, for some men's sins appear later, some now, but good deeds also are conspicuous, and even when they're not, they can't remain hidden. So go for it. What you hear on Sunday, take deep into your soil and pour it forth into practice. Sunday at lunch and the rest of your life, to the honor of Christ, our King. Final word here. Okay, you with me? Final word is, let's be thankful to God today that we have a God who's not a hypocrite. He doesn't say one thing and do another. He's a God who ever keeps His word. He can't lie. He always acts upon it too. And He's acted upon His love. He says, not only, I love you, but I have acted and shown that love in real events to save you in Christ. In this, the love of God was manifested amongst us, that God did send His only Son into the world, that you might live through Him. And this is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Not a hypocrite is our God. He is ever true, and He acts upon it, and He has saved you in Jesus Christ. So, friends, if God has loved us like this, let's act as His children with great action to do the same. For the kingdom of God doesn't consist in talk, but in power. And if we live by the Spirit, let's also walk by the Spirit. That when the final judgment day comes, we be found to be that wise man, having built his house, not upon sand shifting, but upon a rock, the Word, bringing it forth with patience and actions in a real world for a real God and a real kingdom. And God will say, God says, I'll bring you safely through that storm on that day into the eternal joys with me of the world to come, a real kingdom of love everlasting. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called True Identity. Who is Jesus? Who are the true Christians? A broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. If you'd like to hear more messages, be sure to visit our website at ChristLutheranChurchCapeCanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30.